Leading a host of all the faithful into the midst of the fight, lead them with courage and
thank you.
Amen. Good morning po sa ating lahat. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church, Manila.
Amen.
Magsisimula na po tayo ng ating first service. Let's turn to hymn number 54. For our first song, let's sing the song, All That Will Be Glory. Hymn number 54. On the first, ready? Sing. When all my neighbors and trials are over, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look His face, that will be glory for me. Once again, when by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His God for this morning. We thank you for the good weather, Lord, that you have given to us this day. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our service and that you would bless our congregational singing, the reading of your word, and also the preaching, Lord. I pray that you would fill Brother Saki with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and give us the understanding that we need, Lord, for today, for us to be able to grasp and understand the preaching, Lord.
I pray, Lord, that you would take care of the members, Lord, na papunta pa lamang, Panginoon. Kayo pong mag-ingat po sa kanila. And also for the members na hindi po makakaparoon dito, Panginoon, whatever reason that they have, I pray na kayo po ang siyang tumulong pa kanila sa upang malagpasan po kanilang mga problema upang sa gayon, Panginoon, ay makasama po namin sila sa susunod ng mga Sundays, Lord. I pray also that you would give us a good weather this afternoon, Lord. I pray na bigyan niyo po kami ng successful or fruitful na hapon mamaya, Panginoon. And I'm asking all of these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our next song, let's turn to hymn number 101. Hymn number 101. Let's sing the song, Jesus Never Fails. Hymn number 101. Jesus Never Fails.
Welcome to Verity Baptist Church, Manila. Take out your bulletin here today. And our verse of the week is Genesis 49, verse 4, where the Bible reads, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." And that's a great verse there. We are a family-integrated church, meaning children and infants are welcome during the services. We do have a mother-baby room back there for your convenience, as well as the ladies' restroom. The men's restroom is up here in front. Remember, no eating during the services. Maintain a professional atmosphere and keep the children from running and making noise during the church service. On the inside of our bulletin, our weekly service times listed. Our first service is at 10 a.m. Then we have a short break in our 11:30 service. Wednesday evening Bible studies is back to 7 p.m. now, with soul winning at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. Saturday, we have all-day soul winning 10 to 12. Then we have lunch break provided by church, and then 2 to 4. Sunday afternoons, we do have soul winning around 2:15 p.m. here today. You can see our salvations listed there below, volunteering opportunities, birthdays and anniversaries for, well, not September. I should have changed that, October. And so we got a lot of birthdays this month. And then on the next page, our Bible memorization challenge. So a couple of things to update it here in the bulletin. So our Bible memorization challenge, the challenge is chapters 23 through 41. So you have to quote, you know, a chapter word for word perfect in order to get a prize. And when we say word for word perfect, we mean word for word perfect. You know, this is not Psalm 119 where we might give you some leeway, you know, from, you know, slight wording that's off, you know, especially some of these short chapters. So word for word perfect, you get a prize. You say, well, what is the prize? Well, we actually have the prizes here today. And so whenever you memorize, you are free to get one of these. We've got kind of two different options. We've got basically like a chip sort of thing, and then we have a candy. Okay, we have a lot of different types of candy. This is the best, greatest candy bar. This is the King James. That's correct, because all of a sudden I pull this out, people are like shocked, like, wow, it's a Snickers candy bar, right? So we've got good stuff in here. And so, you know, if you memorize a chapter, then, you know, you can get your pick of this. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, how do we determine who gets what? Because let's say there's 10 people that will show up early for church. The earliest person who gets here gets the first choice. I mean, if I can't get you to break Filipino time, well, then I guess this is the method, right? You say, Brother Stuckey, you know, I'd love to memorize, you know, the Bible, but I don't want to. You know, I don't love God enough to, but do you love candy? Do you love chips? Then start memorizing the book of Psalms. So whenever we run out, we're just going to refill it. We might change the location, but we'll have this. So basically, when you show up on Sunday or Wednesday, if you memorize the chapter, you're able to get a prize for it. You're only able to get it one prize per chapter. You can't come every week and say, I memorized chapter 23. I memorized chapter 23. It's one prize, you know, per chapter. Okay, but we'll continually refill that, and we got good candy. We didn't get just the cheap stuff, right? We got good candy, good chips. So, you know, take that seriously. Memorizing the Bible is very important to us. Also, our September visitor challenge. So, congratulations to Team 3 for winning the competition, and we do have the prize here today. And so, the prize is we have a Mango Bravo cake. So, if you're part of Team 3, then, you know, you get to partake in the prize. If there is any left over, then Teams 1 and 2 can partake of the crumbs that fall from Team 3's table, okay? So, it's a good day to be on Team 3, amen, right? So, we do have a Mango Bravo cake, and that will be during lunchtime. And let's see, upcoming activities. So we have our prayer meeting in 2 weeks, and then in 4 weeks we have our first annual Children's Day. This is going to be an annual event. It's going to be right around Halloween weekend, and the reason why is because when I was growing up, Halloween was always, you know, a holiday I loved. You know, you get candy and everything like that. It's like you dress up in whatever, but it was all about getting the candy as a kid, okay? Well, obviously we don't celebrate Halloween here, but we also want to give the kids memory, so we're going to have a lot of games here. It's going to be set up kind of carnival style with kind of old-fashioned fun games they can play, and we're hoping a lot of the adults can help with the volunteering of, you know, with the games. You know, we'll tell you everything you need to do. Obviously, if you have very young kids, you know, both my kids are pretty young, the parents are going to have to help the kids do the games, but, you know, if anyone is able to help with that, that's going to be coming up in 4 weeks, and of course, we'll have food and great time of fellowship. Current and upcoming series, we are in the book of Psalms on Sundays, and then Genesis on Tuesdays if you want to check out the live stream. Information on our group chat, and then on the back there is a place for sermon notes. So I believe that's it for announcements while Brother Marlon leads another song.
Sing the song Singing I Go, hymn number 197. On the first, ready, sing. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes. But at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted load. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Jesus has lifted my load.
For a scripture reading, please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, first book in your Bible, Genesis 49, near the end of Genesis. Genesis 49, and as our custom, we will be reading the entire chapter, Genesis 49, near the end of Genesis. Please say amen if you're there. Amen. Genesis 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secrets. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal into the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass crouching down between two burdens. And Esau that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a servant by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse's heels so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and at the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them, and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered into his people. Blessed read of God's word, let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. I pray that you would bless us, Lord, for this day. Bless us, Lord, with the wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy Ghost, that we may be able to preach and to hear your word, Lord, this day. Bless the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we are here in Genesis chapter 49, and the name of the sermon is Unstable as Water, Unstable as Water. Look at verse number 3 here in the Bible. The Bible reads, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, in the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Now, if this was the only verse that we saw about Reuben, you would think that this is a person who's very successful. You would think, what a great, powerful, awesome person this is, because it says, you are my firstborn, you're my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Those are a lot of good attributes. And the truth is, with a lot of people in this world, they have a lot of good attributes and skills and characteristics they might be blessed with, but that does not mean that you're going to be successful at life. Notice what it says in verse 4, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, he went up to my couch. So the Bible says about Reuben that he's unstable as water. Perhaps you've heard the expression that a situation is fluid. People say, well, it's a fluid situation. We don't know what's going to take place. And the idea is that it can move around in every direction, right? I mean, if you have water and you drop it on something, it's going to move in every direction that things go. It doesn't have stability in and of itself. If I put it on my Bible and I turn my Bible this way, what happens? The water falls this way. I turn it the other way, it falls the other way. It's not going to stay on the Bible, right? Because it's unstable. And see, the Bible says here about Reuben, Reuben is an unstable person, and as a result of that, he will not excel. He will not be successful, okay? Now go to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. What I want to do in this sermon is give you basically 3 points, and in each of these 3 points, we have 3 areas that we're going to apply it to, the same 3 areas for each point, because there's basically 3 areas of your life that you want to be successful at. One area that you should want to be successful is your walk with the Lord. Isn't that important? Your spiritual life, that you're a godly person, you're obeying God's commandments, you're doing what's right. Your walk with the Lord is very important. Another area that's very important is your wife and kids, or your husband and kids, your family, right? Your walk with the Lord's important, your wife and kids, your family life, and your work, right? Walk with the Lord, wife and kids, work. You can see I wanted to make it alliterated, so it's not family for point number 2, okay? But basically, those are the 3 areas of your life, your spiritual life, your family life, and your work. Aren't all 3 of those things important? I mean, if you're very close to God, but you just fail at your secular work, you're going to have a big problem in your life. Or let's say, you know, you're very godly, you read the Bible, you go soul winning, but your family life is a mess, and you screw up raising your kids, you screw up in your marriage, you would have a major check mark against you, right? You want to get all 3 of those areas successful. Well, how do you do that? Notice what it says in Proverbs 9, verse 1. The Bible says this, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. So wisdom hath builded her house, okay? It speaks about wisdom, And in a symbolic sense, it says, hath builded her house, okay? Now, in many ways, we are like a house. You say, why? What does the end of the Sermon of the Mount talk about? It talks about how we're like a house that's going to go through various storms, and if you're built on the rock, you stand. If you're built on the sand, you fall, right? You go through the same problems, you go through the same storms, but the question is, what are you built on? Because what you're built on is going to determine how stable you are. And what it says here in Proverbs 9, verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Now, what is the purpose of this? Is this here for decoration? It looks nice. To be honest, I would love to remove all of these things from our building. It's such a pain when you're trying to set up the chairs. And sometimes I'm over here and I'm like, okay, the people that are back there, I can't really see them. They can't see me. But the purpose of this is not for decoration. The purpose of this is to support the weight of the building. And see, as you have pillars in a building, it's going to help support the weight, and you can build bigger buildings if you design it correctly. I had a class in college called statics where you would basically calculate how much weight you could have at various areas depending on how tall something is, what are the angles, you know, all these various different things. And see, these are useful to support. So if you're building a house, you want a pillar or a marker as a support, so that way it's successful. And the Bible's saying, if you're a wise person and you have a house or you have an area of your life that you want to be successful, you put underneath that support so it's going to stand. Okay? Turn your Bible to Acts 20. Acts 20. And what this pillar does is it provides stability for this building. So if there is a storm, it's probably not going to fall. But what if you don't have much support on a building or a house? Well, if there's a storm, it's going to easily fall, right? You want to put as much support as possible so it's likely to last during a storm or an earthquake or whatever the situation is. And see, the pillar is used to support the building. Point number one is support. Support. Well, when it comes to our walk with the Lord, here's what you need to realize. God has actually told you what the pillars are to be successful. Because see, some of you, your life is a mess right now. You're always angry, you don't have any patience, you're worldly, you're depressed. One week you want to live for God, the next week you don't want to live for God. One week you're in a good mood, then the next day you're yelling at your wife, you're yelling at your kids, you're yelling at your husband, you're frustrated, you're mad, you don't want to go on. You say, why is it that your life is all over the place? Because that would indicate no stability, right? There's no stability if one day you're in a good mood and the next day you're miserable. One day it's like, I have the greatest husband in the world. I have the greatest wife in the world. I want a divorce. I hate my spouse. I am plotting their murder right now, right? You would say there's no stability. Now, when it comes to our spiritual life, you know, if you have a good spiritual life, it's going to give you strong stability overall for all areas of your life. But why is it that some people, one week they want to serve God, the next week they don't want to serve God? One week they're meditating on God's word, the next week they're not. What is the problem? Well, one of the big problems is found in Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. We see here in Acts 20, verse 7, that the pattern they had was meeting the first day of the week. What is this called? It's called church. Church is a pillar for your spiritual life. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Do you see how everything lines up in the Bible? Church is actually a pillar in your life. There's something about coming to church every week, and it resets your mind back how it's supposed to be. Because if you're out of church for a long time, your mind is just going to go off in the wrong direction. But being in church every week and having that habit, it resets you how it's supposed to be. Because this world is lying to you. This world is deceiving you. This world is misleading you. But see, when you're in church every week, you get redirected into exactly what the Bible says. Go to verse 20. Verse 20. Part of church is obviously preaching the gospel, getting people saved. Acts 20, verse 20, notice what it says. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable on you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So house to house is like when we go door-to-door soul winning and we get people saved. You say, why is it important to have a habit of going soul winning? Because it teaches you when you go soul winning that your life is not about you. It's about other people. Did you know that's the whole message of Christianity? Your life is not about you. It's about other people. And see, if we would understand that principle, it would fix all areas of our lives. You want to be a good parent? Well, if you understand the principle that your life's not about you, but it's about your kids, it's going to make you a good parent, isn't it? Instead of just focusing on what you want, you're going to focus on what's good for your kids, right? And see, the Bible says here in Acts 20, verse 20, they're going house to house, preaching the gospel, and when you do that, it resets your mind to realize, hey, it's not about me and what I need in life. It's about other people. See, church is one of the pillars that's going to give you a strong spiritual life. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And if you don't have a habit of regularly being in church, your spiritual life is going to bounce all over the place. Sometimes you're going to be in a good mood. Sometimes you're going to be in a bad mood. You're going to be patient one day, not patient the next day. You're going to be bitter and envious. Then you love. You're going to be bouncing back and forth with no stability because you're not in that habit of being in church, the pillar and ground of the truth, on a weekly basis. Turn your Bible to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. See, one reason why people's lives are just a mess and just, it's like, why is my life so muggle-o? It's all over the place. Everything's messed up. Well, it could be because you don't have a habit of just being in church every single week. Look, I'm not the one who set up the system of church. It's not like, well, this is Brother Stuckey's opinion. I mean, honestly, it's kind of like the first step. You basically line up with who you believe in, you know, God's people. When I got saved and I started going to church, I realized, you know what, this is the group of people that I believe the same doctrines. I support this church. I want to be a part of it because it's God's institution. One reason why your house is falling all the time, it might be because you don't have a habit of regularly being in church. That is a pillar. But see, it's not just a weekly pillar that God gave us. He gave us a couple daily pillars. What's a daily pillar? Reading the Bible. Deuteronomy 17, verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein some of the days of his life. Is that what the Bible says? And he shall read therein when he feels like reading the Bible. Is that what it says? He shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. See, if you read the Bible every day, you will fear God and obey his commandments. If you don't read the Bible every day, the opposite. You're not going to fear God. You're not going to keep his commandments. Right? I mean, isn't that what it says? If you read the Bible every day, you're going to fear God and keep his commandments. So the contrary would be true, that if you're not reading the Bible every day, you're not going to fear God. You're not going to keep his commandments. And see, when it says every day, it means every day. You say, but Brother Stuckey, today's a Sunday. Yeah, you should still read the Bible today. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, and I never read the Bible on Sunday. I'm just so busy and everything. Look, I probably drive from a further distance away than anybody at this church at this point, right? It takes me a long time to get here on a Sunday, but you know what? I still read my Bible this morning. You say, why? That's a pillar of my spiritual life. It's important to me. I need to read the Bible every day, right? All of us need to read the Bible every single day, because that is going to put us daily in that routine of resetting our mind, putting on the new man, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and that's a daily thing you need to do. Go to Daniel 6. Daniel 6. Daniel 6. You say, Brother Stuckey, what if you don't read the Bible every day? Well, if you're not reading, the days you don't read the Bible, you're going to be in a bad mood, you're going to be depressed, you're going to be angry, you're going to be complaining. Everything is going to be a mess. That's the truth. The days you don't read the Bible, your life is a mess, and you know that's true. You're in a bad mood. You're getting in a fight with your wife or your husband. You're getting mad at your kids, right? On days you're reading the Bible and your child accidentally spills something, you know what? It's not the end of the world to you. But if you don't read the Bible, it's just like you're the worst son in the world. You're the worst. But, you know, really the problem is just your own heart, because those things are going to happen around you. You need to fix your own spiritual walk, and a daily pillar that God has given us to make that house stand during a storm or difficult times is called reading the Bible. Read it every day. You say, Brother Stuckey, I know I should read the Bible every day, but you know, it's just not happening. You know, what can I do to fix that? Make a Bible reading chart. find a Bible reading chart online. Did you know that when I wake up in the morning, I never have to decide what to read? You say, why? Because I have a chart that tells me what to read time. It's day 3. I'm on a 3-month schedule, Matthew 15 through Matthew 21, Proverbs 3, Psalms 11 through 15. You say, Brother Stuckey, when did you decide that? I just woke up. It's like, okay, well, this is what I'm supposed to read today, so I read it. Right? I mean, I decided at the end of 2020 what my Bible reading schedule was for all of 2021. And when you do that, when you mess up on a day, it forces you to get back on that schedule because you're committed to that schedule. You just kind of make a schedule and then you stick to it. Look, people that are successful in life, they live off routine, not emotion. You live off routine, not emotion. It's like that with any area of your life. It doesn't even matter what the area is. You say, Brother Stuckey, I'm trying to, I got a New Year's resolution to get in shape and work out. Pick a time and a location. Because people that work out regularly, they have a time and a location, and then they just stick to it. Whatever you want to be good at, you do it by routine, not based on emotion. Why? Because your emotions are going to fly all over the place. It's better to decide ahead of time when you've got a clear head than just always trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Can you imagine how successful you're going to be in your job if you wake up and say, do I feel like going to work today? Well, good luck lasting 2 weeks at your job. Because honestly, you know what? I never felt like going to work. Right? My job in Maryland, I didn't mind the job. I mean, it's fine. But it's not like I woke up and it's like, man, I'm so excited to just go to work and everything. It's like, but see, you live your life by routine and then you're just successful at things. That's the way it works. See, we don't have to figure it out. God gave us one of the daily routines is read the Bible every day. Right? It's not the Bo Sanchez method of, it's not important to read the Bible. It's a good thing, but it's not necessary to grow. Well, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. See, that's the advantage of reading the Bible. You're not going to like say something completely wrong and have a verse to completely disprove what you're saying. Another one of the pillars of your Christian life and your walk with the Lord is praying every day. You say, Brother Stuckey, this is not a complicated sermon. You're right. It's not a complicated sermon. But the truth is that if we would all examine our hearts and answer these questions honestly, many people are like, okay, I don't read the Bible every day. Okay, I'm not in church every week. Okay, I don't pray every day. It's like, I don't have some complicated calculus formula to solve all your problems. Here's the problem. You're not reading the Bible every day. You're not praying every day. Notice what it says in Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God. Notice this, as he did aforetime, okay? This was the pattern in Daniel's life to pray 3 times a day. Now I'm not saying that we need to pray exactly 3 times a day or pray 5 times a day facing Mecca or whatever like that. But that's what Daniel did, though. He had a pattern of praying 3 times a day. What I am saying is the Bible says pray without ceasing. So you could at least pray once a day. Just pick a time to set aside. And a very smart time to pray is at the beginning of the day, because you're praying, God, please guide me down the right path today. Help lead me in the right direction. And guess what? God's ready to answer a good prayer like that. But here's the thing, if you're not praying daily, you might be just going down your own road every single day, and God's like, couldn't you just spend 10 minutes? Right? I mean, we got songs in the hymnal, sweet hour of prayer, blessed hour of prayer. Can you just give God 10 minutes? Just 10 minutes of prayer? Once again, you say, Brother Stuckey, I know I should pray. Why am I unsuccessful? Because you don't have a prayer list. Once again, I have set things I pray for depending on what day of the week. And then there's also additional things that might be important. Maybe someone has a surgery or something important. But I have said things where it's like, okay, today I'm praying for this. On Sundays, the main thing I pray for is this church family. Because obviously we have church, we have soul winning, we have fellowship. And the main thing I pray for on Sundays is for this church. On Saturdays, the main thing I pray for is VBC Pampanga, right? And I have different things depending on the day. And here's the thing, you take out your list in the morning. It's okay. I'm going to pray to God. And you go through the list. And if there's anything else, you can add that as well. Isn't that what we do on our monthly basis? We got a circle of people. What's your prayer request? What's your prayer request? Well, that's why you should have just a prayer list of things that you can pray to God about. And I'll tell you what, you could come up with a lot of things if you actually stopped and thought about it. There's many things that we can pray for to God about, and it's like oftentimes we do not have because we're not asking. Turn your Bible to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Right now, some of you are like, why can't you just preach against the LGBT today, Brother Stuckey? Well, because there's that's a sermon for another day, okay? It's like I just changed a sermon a couple weeks ago based on a new topic. I'm not changing it because of Miss Philippines, you know, is a tomboy, okay? It is what it is. That's just, I'll let that pass this time, okay? But, you know, this sort of sermon, though, can oftentimes step on your toes because, you know, I'm not an idiot. I'm positive that not everybody's reading the Bible every day. I'm positive not everybody's praying every day. And if you want me to be completely honest, I would say probably most people in this church don't pray every single day. Now, I hope that's not the case. I hope most people are reading the Bible every day. I hope most people are spending real time in prayer per day. But I've also been in churches for a long time since I've been saved. I got saved 18 years ago next Sunday, okay, October 10th. 18 years ago, guess what? Even in churches that are preaching the truth, there are people at the churches that don't read the Bible. There are people at the churches that, you know, don't pray. What's going to happen, though, is your life is going to be all over the place from day to day because you don't have that daily routine of just reading the Bible, of just praying to God, of just going to church every week. The simple things are going to be what makes you successful in life. It's like that with everything, right? At my secular job in Maryland, you know, the main thing I did all day was I was on Microsoft Excel for more than 5 hours a day of my job. Microsoft Excel, math, and formulas all day long. There's probably a lot of men in our room who use Microsoft Excel a lot, right? You say, Brother Stuckey, are you an expert at Microsoft Excel? I know very little about Microsoft Excel. There's like 55 million formulas in that computer program, and I know this percentage of them. But this percentage was basically my whole job. 99% of what I did was the same things over and over and over again. Use a VLOOKUP function, just do basic data entry. It's the same stuff over and over again. There's a lot of complicated things in Excel I don't know how to do. And that's what YouTube and Google is for, right? You go to Google, it's like, how do you do this on Excel? You see somebody else who did it, you just change the numbers, change the letters. It's like, all right, I got an error, let me figure out what it is. Okay, I'm done, right? That's the way it is in life, though. With any area, if you're going to be successful, it's not being able to do the complicated things, it's being good at the basics. Any area of life, that's the way it works, right? I get it that when there's a literal physical fight, you know, the highlight knockout is this spinning cartwheel kick or whatever, but, you know, most fights don't end that way. And if that's all you train, you're going to lose every single fight, right? You get good at stuff by doing the basics, not just spending all your time on all the complicated stuff. So the first application is with your walk with the Lord. Look at Proverbs 22. Another application is with your wife and kids or husband and kids, with your family. Notice what it says in Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when it comes to the pillar of being a successful mom, when it comes to the pillar of being a successful dad, what does the Bible say? It says, train up a child. Train up a child. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, if you're training up a child, it's going to imply you're spending time with those kids. It implies that you're teaching them, giving them nurture, you're giving them admonition, training up a child, right? Here's the other thing. If you are training up your child, it also means that if you're going to be successful, your spouse is going to be involved with you. It's a team effort. And see, if both mom and dad are working at training their children, their relationship's going to be better because their effort and energy is not focused on themselves, but on their kids. Because once again, your life is not about you. It's about other people. And when you have kids, guess what? The focus is no longer on mom and dad. The focus is on the kids. You say, why? Because the kids need you. Those diapers don't change themselves. I mean, if your baby's crying because they need a new diaper, it's like they're not going to figure it out on their own, right? And if you don't deal with it, you have a much bigger mess on your hands, you know, 30 minutes down the road. It's like you have to deal with it. And see, here's the thing. As a parent, your life is not about you. It's about your kids. That's the way that God set up the system. And it's a great thing because it humbles you to realize that you're not really that special. What actually matters is your kids, right? Turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. So the pillar to be a successful father or mother, be successful with your family life, is that your goal is just that you're training your child. That implies spending time and effort and energy. What about in your secular work? You say, Brother Stuckey, I want to be successful at my job. What is the secret to impressing my boss? Well, I've got three things, and these are very basic, very, very basic, you know, elementary school level. Number one, wake up early in the morning. Wake up early in the morning. Exodus 34, verse 4. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning. Now, I'm going to give you a homework assignment where basically when you're reading the Bible, you don't have to turn this in, but when you read the Bible, look for the Bible saying waking up early in the morning, rising early in the morning. And you know what you're going to find? Every great character in the Bible woke up early in the morning. It's a fact. If you haven't noticed that, just start looking for it. And you're like, man, every single chapter, Moses rose up early in the morning. Moses rose up early in the morning. Not just Moses. You can look at Joshua or any of the characters. I talked about a few weeks ago, Elisha's helper is like all worried. What's going on? And then Elisha's like, hey, it's all right, because he had probably spent his morning time with God because he woke up early in the morning. And if you want to be successful, you need to rise up early in the morning. You say, what does that mean exactly, Brother Stuckey? What it means is you don't wake up 10 minutes before you start your job and then just stumble into work. You say, why? Because of the fact, if you woke up 10 minutes before, you're still asleep when you get there, right? And you get to work and you're like, cape, cape, son on cape, I'm so tired, right? And you're basically worthless for the first 45 minutes. But see, if you wake up an hour before you work, or an hour and a half, or 2 hours, guess what? When you actually start your day, you're already energized and ready to go. You've already had breakfast, you've already had coffee or whatever, and you're ready to go. Don't just wake up right before you start. For one, you're going to miss your walk with the Lord in the morning. But number two, you're going to be basically exhausted as you're while you're at work, and then you're not going to be successful if you're exhausted. And look, if you woke up early in the morning, that's going to actually fix 95% of your problems in life. That's the big problem people have. They do not wake up early. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9. I grew up being taught that if you wake up at 8 in the morning, the day's already half gone. That's what I was taught. I wake up early in the morning. I set my alarm for 5 in the morning. Today I woke up at 4:30 before my alarm. I was thinking, great, 30 extra minutes to get stuff done that I need to get done. Able to spend, you say, Brother Stuckey, how did you have time to read the Bible? You know, it's, well, because I woke up early in the morning. Let me be honest. The reason, you say, Brother Stuckey, I wish this church didn't have such a late lunch. That's not my fault, because I would love to start this church earlier. I would love to. I just know that would hurt the attendance because people have trouble waking up. I would love to start it at 8 in the morning or 9 in the morning. I'm dead serious. Early up, you know, early to rise, and you're successful in life. I would love to start it early, but I know people have enough trouble getting here on time when it's at 10. What if it's at 8? It's like people are showing up at lunch. Did I miss soul winning? Right? Waking up early is going to make you successful in life, right? Because there's less distractions early in the morning. Brother Stuckey, I want to read my Bible every day, but there's so many distractions. That's because you're waking up too late. Wake up early, there's not distractions. That's the way it works. What's another thing that makes you successful at your job? Work hard. Work hard. You say, Brother Stuckey, that's really basic. It is very basic, but most people don't work hard. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now, here's the thing. You say, Brother Stuckey, I don't have a secular job. You know, I'm a stay-at-home parent. Well, that's your work then. If you're a stay-at-home parent, your work is being a stay-at-home parent. Work hard at it. And let me tell you something. You say, Brother Stuckey, you know, I can't find anything to do. That's why I'm on Facebook for hours every day. No, you're just not doing the things you need to do. There are plenty of things that you could do if you wanted to. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I really don't understand why people like to sit around and do nothing, because I've had jobs where there wasn't a lot to do and I hated it, right? Like your first couple of days on a new job, and they don't have anything for you to do, they're just like, read the company's manual. It's like, I already read it twice yesterday. It's like, can you give me something to do? Do you need somebody to run an errand? They're like, yeah, we need to get this box out. All right, you need someone to get the box, I'll go get the box, right? Because I don't want to just sit around with nothing to do. And see, a lot of times in life, people just sit around, lazy, doing nothing. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And you will impress your boss if you just work hard. That's the truth. And here's the thing, as Christians, we don't have the luxury of only working hard when the boss is around, because promotion cometh from the Lord. God sees what you do. Don't be a man pleaser, as the Bible says. Actually work hard whether you're noticed or not. And if you do that, you know what? You're going to be successful. It's that simple. Turn to Psalm 75. Psalm 75. Psalm 75. One thing is wake up early. Another thing is work hard. Another thing is rely on God. Rely on God. It says in Psalm 75, verse 6, from promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Your goal is not to impress your boss at work. Your goal is to impress the Lord. Right. It's a big difference. Right. And if your goal is to impress the Lord, part of it is that you're actually working hard as he commands you to do. But, you know, part of it is that you're actually living a godly life. I believe if you want to be successful at your secular work, living a godly life is going to help you out. You say, why? I believe promotion cometh from the Lord, right? Not from the west, not from the east, not from the south, but from the Lord, right? From above, God is the one who's going to promote you. So if you want to be successful at your job, wake up early, work hard, and rely on God. And look, it's very easy to be lazy with these things when you're co-working. I worked at an office setting before, and it's like, I really don't understand why if you smoke cigarettes, you get to have like 6 15-minute breaks a day. Because I'm like, that's why literally people in the U.S. start smoking so they can take breaks during the day at work, right? But it's like, I remember times where it's just like, there's nobody in the office. I'm thinking it's like 2 in the afternoon, there's these phone calls bouncing in, and I'm just thinking, I'm not paid to, you know, organize things on the phone. I'm paid to be on Microsoft Excel. And you get phone calls that get bounced to you because people aren't there at their jobs. And it's like, what are they doing? They're getting paid, but they're not there, right? And you end up covering for them, and you don't even know what's going on because the phone call's been bounced to you, and you're like, I have no idea. Let me try to find the right person. And then I remember one time specifically, because we had the defined benefit section and the defined contribution section. Defined benefit was math. That's the section I was in. Math and doing computer stuff. Defined contribution was more secretarial organization. We had like 30 workers in the DC section. We had about 10 workers in the DB section. And I remember one time my phone rang, and it's somebody asking a question for the DC side. And I'm like, hold on a second, let me find somebody. And I'm looking, there's nobody there. 30 people, none of them are there. It's like, what are they? But the boss wasn't there that day. Right? The cat's away. The mice will play, right? And see, you know, the boss isn't there, so they're not working hard. But see, our boss is ultimately the Lord. So if you want to be successful, you need to work hard whether you're seen or not. Turn in your Bible to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Genesis 49. You say, Brother Stuckey, these are not these life-changing things I was expecting to fix my life. Yeah, it's the basic things that are going to fix your life. Here's a famous basketball player that retired like 5 years ago, Tim Duncan. He was known as the Big Fundamental. And, you know, you look at the end of a game, it'd be like Spurs-Lakers. You got Kobe Bryant has like 35 points or whatever, did all these fancy slam dunks. Shaq did all these powerful moves, broke the rim. You're thinking, man, Tim Duncan didn't do anything. You look at the box score, 28 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks, because it wasn't exciting, right? We remember the exciting, but the boring fundamental stuff you forget about. Well, it's the same thing in your life. If you're good at the basics, the fundamental stuff, that is what's going to make you successful, right? Instead of worrying about all the complicated things, worry about just reading the Bible every day. Worry about praying every day. Worry about going to church every week. And if you do those things, you're going to find, man, my house is strong. It's stable. It's not falling in every direction, every single situation. Point number one is support. Point number two, you say, Brother Stuckey, I already knew all of these things. Well, but you're not doing all these things, so you need to hear them anyway. But point number one is support. But point number two, that support needs to be static. meaning unmoving. Because if this was here, but it just kind of went back and forth in every direction, it's not going to provide stability for this house. And see, the problem with a lot of us is that we read the Bible every day when we feel like reading the Bible every day. It's not a static support. It just kind of moves depending on the situation. It's like, oh, well, you know, I know I should read the Bible, but, you know, I got this thing in my schedule. I wasn't able to do it today. I'm going to read twice as much tomorrow. No, you're not. And then you get the end of the next day. I'm going to read three times as much tomorrow. No, you're not. And eventually you're going to forget about it and just say, oh, you know, I'll just start, you know. And you're bouncing back and forth in your life, no stability whatsoever, because your support system is not static. It's changing depending on the situation. Genesis 49, verse 4, it says, unstable as water. Unstable as water. Water is something that's unstable, right? And it just moves in every direction, and it's not static. You could put it here, and it's going to move depending on if this pulpit moves, okay? Turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. So before we get into the applications with our walk with the Lord, our wife and kids, and then with our secular work, I want you to realize something, that if you're considering making changes in your life, the Bible teaches that that's something you should deeply consider. Not just make a major change without thinking about it. Notice what it says in Proverbs 4, verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder means to think, but to think very deeply. It's a very strong word. So the Bible's saying, deeply think about the path of your feet. The indication is, you're walking down a path, you've got this routine for your life, and you're thinking about changing that routine. You should really think about that before you change your routine, right? I mean, if you're going down this path and you're successful, before you make any big changes, make sure you think about it. You say, why? You want your ways to be established or stable. And if you're always changing directions, there's going to be no stability. You got to figure out what works and just stick with it, right? Nothing complicated, nothing fancy. You just find something that works, you have a routine, and you just stick to that routine. You say, Brother Stuckey, but that I get bored with my routines. But that's what makes you successful. You find a routine, and you just stick to it, and that's how you're successful. You say, Brother Stuckey, it just seems kind of boring every day waking up and reading the Bible, but that's what's going to make you successful, that you have this routine. You don't want to just do one day, I'm going to read the Bible at 5 in the morning, then tomorrow I'm going to read it after, you know, work, then and just bouncing around. No, just figure something out and stick with it. If it doesn't work for you reading in the morning, then find a time that works and stick to it. You say, Brother Stuckey, my work shift's all over the place. Well, then do this. Your work shift is not like a 7 or 8 in the morning starting thing. Before you go home, read the Bible after work. Right? If you work through the night, before you go home, take an hour break, stop on the side of the road, stay at your job or whatever, and read the Bible before you go home. Because once you get home and there's distractions, you're not going to read the Bible. That's the way it works. You just have to figure something out and stick to it and just go by routine. And when you have a routine or a schedule, it forces you to just keep that. On my phone, I have a weekly schedule that says on Monday I do this, on Tuesday I do this, on Wednesday I do this, on Thursday I do this. Now, I'm not saying I perfectly stick to it every single day. Obviously, we understand that it's not like every single day you're going to be perfect, but you should try as much as is possible. Why? You want stability in your life. And if you don't have stability, you're going to fail in life at whatever you do. You need stability. Go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. Not only should you deeply think about before you make changes in your life, but you know what? You should also ask for godly counsel from people before you make major changes. And the thing about godly counsel is it means ask for advice and counsel, but actually be willing to listen to the advice and the counsel when it's given. Because there's no purpose of just asking 20 people and picking the one that you like. This is not a... Right? This is real life. And when you're getting advice, you know what? The one that's the best is not always the one that you like the most. In fact, sometimes the best advice is the one that hurts the most, the one that you don't want to do. But you get godly advice from people that are outside the situation, And you need to be smart in life and realize that, you know what, you're going to be misguided sometimes. And sometimes it's good to go to somebody outside the situation and say, hey, can you just be honest with me? I'm thinking about this. Do you think this is a good idea? Should I stick to this? Right? This is what it says in Proverbs 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. See, the Bible says if you're going to make war, you need to have advice about it. Because war's a serious thing. War's a big deal. Right? I mean, if just one person decided, well, I just feel like going to war with this country, you'd have a problem. You'd have the United States of America, pretty much, where they just want to go to war with everybody, get no advice, and let's just go to war with this country and this country and this country. But look, that's a dumb way to live your life. And if you're going to make a big decision, you want to get advice about it. Okay? Every purpose is established by counsel. Go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Matthew 12. So as much as is possible, you want to develop a routine in life. And look, I'm using three different things: your walk with the Lord, your work, and then your wife and kids. Those three areas, okay? You might have another area that's very important to you, and if you do, you want to set up a pillar so it's going to stand, okay? But those are three very important areas, and you want to set up a pillar, and you want it to be unmoving, static. You set up support, and it is static, and it doesn't change depending on the situation. Well, when it comes with our walk with the Lord, what is one of the big reasons why people don't serve the Lord? One of the big reasons is because of their physical family. People allow their physical family to cause them not to serve God. Notice what it says in Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, Matthew 12, verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. So here's an example where basically Jesus is preaching to the people, and all of a sudden he's told, hey, you know, your mom and your brethren are outside. They want to talk to you. Notice what the reaction is. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You know what Jesus is basically saying? My church family is more important than my physical family. And you know what? That is a tough thing for people to take. What Jesus is saying? He's saying, I'm preaching a sermon and my mom wants to talk to me. It's like, I got something more important. I got something more important than Mother Mary right now, okay? He's like, I got something more important. I'm preaching a sermon. And you know what? There's a lot of people, though, they'll go to church, but then their physical family caused them to start skipping church. Oh, we got a family function. I can't be involved in this. Oh, yeah, this is my only chance to hang out with them. And they value their physical family more than their church family. But see, the Bible says you should value your church family more than your physical family. And that's a tough reality check for people, but that is the truth. Because you ought to have more in common with your church family than your physical family. Now, look, if your physical family loves God too, and they want to be a part of the things of God, praise the Lord for that. But for most of us, that's not the case. For a few of us, is that actually the case? Okay? Turn your Bible to John 21. John 21. There are many marriages. Marriage are basically, well, what do our mom and dad think, and we'll just do what they say. And look, you know, I don't care if that's a tradition in your family. That's not the tradition in the Bible. That's not what God says. When you get married, husband and wife, you become one flesh. You are your own family. And you might love your mom and dad, and maybe they do good advice a lot of times, but if they're saying something and you disagree, you go with what you believe is correct. But many people that allow their family to cause them to get out of the things of God, or they start getting made fun of by friends and family. I want to be a part of Verity Baptist Church, Brother Stucky, but man, just everybody hates you. Right? There's so much hate on this. I mean, I can't be. right? Why does Peter do this? Because of feelings and emotions. I don't feel like serving God now, so I'm not going to serve God. Look, if you live your life based on feelings, you are going to fail. You have to just live it based on what is right and stick to it. You say, Brother Stuckey, you know, when should I read the Bible? Not when you feel like it. Every day. You say, wait, you're not going to feel like going to church every day. Right? There's times I don't feel like going to church. There's times I don't feel like reading the Bible. There's times I don't feel like going soul winning. But you stick to it or not. That is how you're successful at life. Look, you're not all, look, I am sure that in this room, many of you came to church today and you didn't feel like it. You're like, man, I really want to rest today. I don't want to be in church today. I've got all this going on. But you should live your life based on routine because your feelings are going to toss back and forth. And the amazing thing about church is many times I go to church and when I don't feel like going, and then at the end of the day, I'm like, man, that was like my best day at church I've had in a long time. What a great day. I got a couple people saved. Great fellowship. I'm so happy I took the time. But if you chose to skip church, you'd probably end up being miserable because that's the way it works. You live your life based on routine, not feelings and emotions. And if you live on feelings, it's going to be unstable, fading in every direction, and the whole house will end up falling down. Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy 6. The Bible also talks about being rooted and built up in Him, and roots are dug in. And the indication is, that's the way you should be in the house of God and in the doctrines and the things that are right, that you're rooted and built up. So if somebody tries to pull you away, that storm, that house is going to last during that storm. That's the indication and the imagery the Bible's trying to say. What about with your wife and kids? What about with your family? What about training your kids? Okay, the support system is you're training your children. Well, what does that mean to be static? Okay, well, notice what it says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So teaching diligently unto your children is the support system. That's the training, right? But then it gives us some practical advice here. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. When you're sitting with your kids, train them, teach them. You know, this might seem very old-fashioned, but something that might be helpful is just picking a time to eat dinner as a family. And you're sitting with your kids every day and you can teach and train them. I mean, I know it's so basic that it's not going to work in 2021, but if you just picked a time, we're going to eat breakfast together, or we're going to eat lunch together, we're going to eat dinner together at 6 p.m. every night. You know what? You'd have time every single day to sit with your kids, sit with your family, and actually train them. But instead, you're not training your kids, and the reason why is because your schedule's all over the place. It's not static. You don't have a set time to do it. I mean, I know it's very basic, but the basic things are going to fix your life. You want to train them. Have a time where you sit together. Have a time where you're just having dinner together or lunch together. Look, I understand people's work schedules are very different, so I'm not saying the same time is going to work for everyone. Maybe have a time during the week where you say we have a couple hours of family time this day during the week where we spend family time together. Where basically, no matter what the other distractions are, this is family time, right? You know, what works for my family is we pick Thursday morning is kind of what we've been doing. Now, this Thursday, it's going to be family haircut day because I need a haircut, right? It's not always the most exciting thing, but it's just a time where we make sure we're spending time as a family together. It's only a couple hours, but it puts you in that routine. If you have a set time where you're eating dinner together, guess what? You're sitting in your house together with your family, and then you have that time to train them. Look, I know how our schedules work. There are many times where it's like, man, I'm really busy right now. I don't have time. But you know what? You'd be wise to pick a time and make it static and say, you know what? This is our time during the week or day where we spend a little bit of time with family. Even if the rest of my schedule is crazy, you know what? I can take 30 minutes. 30 minutes is not that much. You can cut out 30 minutes of sleep or whatever you need to do. The support system's not very static. It's moving all over the place, right? Or how about when thou liest down? Well, when you think of lying down, you're thinking about at nighttime when you're going to bed. Now look, the time of day you're going to be your laziest is probably right before you two. Brother Stuckey, man, I know I should read the Bible every day, but I was on Facebook this morning. I mean, something like really interesting happened. I had to check it out. And I watched this one video, but then there was like this other, this is my Bible reading time. Yeah, your problem is you should have woken up and just read the Bible. and allow the other things to be something later. Here's what you need to realize. The things that are important in life should come first. And if other things you don't end up getting done, that's okay. Your hobbies are not essential. Go for work every third day and say, well, you know, I was writing a poem, right? Well, good luck. Good luck on your job, okay? How about with work? Well, notice what it says in Proverbs 6, verse 4. We see this. It says in verse 4, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Thine eyelids. That's called waking up early in the morning, right? And linked with work is waking up early. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. You say, Brother Stuckey, you know, I'm always tired. I wake up. I have very little sleep. I'm exhausted. That's the way life works. You say, Brother Stuckey, I wish it wasn't like that. Well, and kids, you're going to have many times you wake up, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted, right? That happens to, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to men. Every husband, every wife, we deal with that because you're training your kids, you're teaching your kids. You are going to have days you wake up, you're tired, you're exhausted. But you know what? That's the life that we have, right? And see, it's actually a good thing if at a young age you learn the principle of, you know what, waking up early and working rather than just waking up and just, let me just relax for 3 hours and do nothing, right? It says, give not sleep to thine eyes nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant getting promoted. You have to become the employee where your boss can talk. Your boss doesn't have time to always check in every second of the day to make sure you're doing it right. You got to figure it out on your own. And in all areas of our life, you need to just figure it out. Without an overseer, just work hard. You say, Brother Stuckey, I don't know what to do. I have all this free time. Well, just pray to God that he can show you something that you can do. That way you can work with all your might. You say, at my job, I don't feel like I have anything to do. Look, there's always something to do. There's always something to do. Turn your Bible to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Genesis 49. I mean, this sermon, I mean, maybe you say, well, Brother Stuckey, my toes have gotten stepped on, but this is going to make you successful at these areas of life if you apply it. You want to be successful at your work, wake up early, work hard, rely on God, which implies being a godly person and things such as that. You're going to be successful, right? And look, there's a lot of people that are saved people, but they're not good employees. They're not good workers. And some people have this idea, well, you know, I mean, I'm a servant of God, so the only thing that matters is the spiritual. Except the Bible commands you to work hard. Right. It commands you to be a good worker. And if you're getting paid to do a job and you're not doing it because you're lazy, it's called and don't get promoted. But if you trust that God is going to promote you, if you're doing a good job, you need to work hard whether you're not getting paid or not. Because the Bible says you're going to end up getting paid for it. That's what it says. If you're working hard, even if you don't get a payment from your boss, eventually it's going to come through. Eventually you're going to get that promotion. If God can look down and say, you know what, this person's doing a good job, they love me, they're working hard, this person I'm going to promote, because promotion cometh from the Lord, the Bible says. So point number one, we see a support system, which is basically pillars in areas that are important to you. Point number two, that pillar needs to be static. This cannot be moving, or this house is going to crumble. Wisdom hath builded her house upon seven pillars, the Bible says, right? She tuned it out to Joshua 1. Peter in Lebanon, those that be, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So, Brother Stuckey, what's the secret to getting people saved in old age? Being planted in God's house. Going to church every week. And then another pillar is just reading the Bible every day. You go to church every week, you read your Bible every day, you're going to be successful. It's not complicated, right? There's nothing complicated. All you have to do is do the basics and you're going to be successful. Look, God wants you to be a good Christian. It's not like, you know, you have to spend 10 years studying. I just figured out what the secret is to being a good Christian. No, it's actually very simple. Just read the Bible every day, pray every day, go to church every week. You're going to be successful. It's really that simple. It's not complicated. Turn your Bible to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. We'll look at a few more places. Proverbs 22. Here's the thing, though. It's very simple. I didn't say it was easy. It's simple. It's not easy. It's simple to understand what you need to do. The fun part is when you hit the game-winning shot over somebody. God says if you train up your children, you will be successful. Now, this is something you have to take by faith. because of the fact, you know what, you can't see 20 years down the road. But you know, the great thing is this, you are on a path in life, and God says, I'll tell you what the end of this path is if you stick to this. If you train up your children, the end result is they're going to love God. They're not going to depart from it. They're going to serve God. That's what the Bible says. Now, we don't see that when our kids are young, but that's the end result the Bible says. And if you just stick to this pattern of actively training your children in your life, you're going to have success. They're going to grow up. And you know what? If your kids are successful and they love God, it's going to cause you to have a good marriage as well. These things are going to go together because none of us live isolated lives, okay? When you're husband and wife, you're working together to raise those kids. Up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the indication is if you don't provide nurture and admonition to your kids, then you're going to provoke them to wrath. Both of those things are important. Nurture is important. It's important to spend time with your kids and care about them. The admonition is also important. The admonition is the spanking, the discipline, the correction. Both those things are important in life, according to the Bible. Nurture and admonition. If you only have one, you're going to have something lacking. Training is involving both those things, nurture and admonition. Now, the nurture is the fun thing, playing with your kids. The admonition is also important. And if you do both of those things, when they are old, they're not going to depart. They're going to love God. They're going to serve God. And you know what? One of the saddest things you see is when people's kids grow up and they don't really love their parents because of time into them. So when they grow up, guess what? Those kids don't want to invest time into their parents. But if you invest your time and energy and heart into your kids, when they grow up, they're also going to love you and want to spend time with you. Genesis 29, verse 14. What about with work? What about with work? You say, Brother Stuckey, you know, I want to be more successful at my job. You know, I'm trying to get promotions. I'm trying to get raised. How do I know this is going to work for me? Well, Genesis 29, verse 14. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. Here's a story where basically Jacob is told nothing to do. You can play Xbox, PlayStation, whatever this is. Always something to do in life. There are things to do. And look, you know, if everybody just sat around, we'd have a lot of problems in life in all areas, right? I mean, imagine at our church, we have fellowship events and activities. What if everybody just sat around and nobody's doing anything? Nobody's volunteering. Nobody's working. This place would become such a mess every single week. It would be a nightmare, right? But the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And this is what Jacob does. And Laban says, you know, should you serve me for naught? You're my brother. I don't want to take advantage of you. And then he says, what shall thy wages be? So basically Laban says, you know what? You're working for me. I want to hire you. How much do I have to pay you for you to work for me? Can you imagine going to a job interview like that? You go into the job interview. They're like, okay, we're going to hire you. What is that called? It's called success. What does that mean? Well, it means that if you're working hard, you wake up early, like Jacob was obviously waking up early and working hard and being godly and relying on God. What's the result? Success. It's that simple. If you want to be successful at your job, the secret is wake up early, work hard, be a godly person, rely on God, and you're going to be successful. Now, look, I didn't say you're going to be rich. I didn't say that you're going to be, you know, just swimming in dollar bills every day or Donald Trump or something like that, but you're going to be successful. God's going to provide your needs. That's what the Bible teaches. Look, it's like this with any area of your life. You want to be successful. You set up a support system, a pillar of things that you know, I must do this, right? If you want to have a successful walk with the Lord, I only mentioned a few things. Make sure you're getting this done. Make sure you're getting this done. Make sure you're getting this done. If you're not able to get all these other things done, you say, Brother Stuckey, you're having a fellowship activity. I'm in church, but I can't stay around for all of it. Hey, you're still in church. You got that pillar done. Maybe you're going to miss some things, but you know what? These pillars should not be moving in every direction where it's like, sometimes I read the Bible, I just don't feel like it today. Now, I would say this, that let's say you're in this room and you heard this sermon, and you say, Brother Stuckey, you know, I see the points, it's very practical, this makes sense, but if I'm honest with myself, some of my pillars are out of place. Well, that should be something that you're trying to work for to get to the point where you can have established a couple pillars in your life in these areas and say, I will always get this done. I am not going to miss on this. It might mean you need to make some changes in your life. Maybe you need to make some changes so these pillars are going to be in place. But here's the thing. If you don't have pillars set up, how is a house going to stand? The Bible says at the end of Matthew 7 that if your house is built upon the rock, it's going to stand. Why? It's got a strong foundation. If your house is built upon pillars, wisdom hath builded her house, and it's upon seven pillars, it says in Proverbs 9. But if you don't have this, and then a storm comes, it could easily tumble. And you know, it's the same thing in our life with various areas. We're doing something successfully, but once that storm comes, we don't have a system of support to hold it up. It just crumbles, and that's the end of it. And these are three areas of your life. I would hope we all agree, these are three areas you don't want to lose. Your walk with the Lord is important, right? I mean, isn't your walk with the Lord important? Job said, I've esteemed that the words of God more than my necessary food. Right? Your walk with the Lord is important. But what about your wife and kids, your family? That's important, right? I mean, I don't want to serve God my whole life and then just screw up my marriage and screw up my kids, and my kids grow up and they hate me and they don't love God. I would consider that a failure. I don't want to screw that up either. I also don't want to screw up my work. That's important. That's how you get paid, right? I mean, you got to work hard, get paid. You got to be successful. All three of those areas are vital. And if you're smart, the way that you're going to make sure it stands during a storm is set up pillars and make sure these do not move. The end result, you're going to have success in those areas. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see the subject, God. And I ask you to be with all of our church family. Help all of us to establish some pillars in our life for these areas and things that are important to us. And help these pillars, this system of support, to be static and unmoving, God. And help all of us, including myself, to just, you know, develop more stability in our lives so that we can excel, God. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For our last song, let's turn to hymn number 105. Hymn number 105. Let's sing the song, All That Fails My Soul. On the first, who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By His presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious, oh, all in mind. All that fills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Thousand in my bed.
Praise.